Luke chapter 5 this morning, and we're going to be looking at Luke 5. The title of this lesson that I've given to it is The Power of Christ Displayed. We're going through the book of Luke for our Bible classes, and we're doing one chapter at a time. And because there's so much in each chapter, I'll give you the highlights on some of the chapters or on some of the sections, and we'll slow down a little bit on the areas that we want to cover a little bit more in. I kind of compare it to like traveling. Have you ever driven, and sometimes you have to slow down in, you know, the small towns where they got the speed limit drops to like 35. If you're not careful, you can get yourself into some trouble by going too quick through them. That's what we're going to do through these chapters. There are going to be some sections where we'll just, not that it's not important, it's just we probably have covered it in another gospel that we went through, or maybe in a series of messages that we've done in the past. And so there'll be some areas that we'll slow down in and some that we'll just give you the highlights on. But Luke chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stopped by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So we're going to start there this morning. Luke chapter 5, the power of Christ displayed. I'll give you just a quick outline. And this is just the outline we're going to be kind of going off of this morning for our lesson. Power to command. And we're going to see that he had power to command, basically, obviously command people and to direct, but most importantly, we're going to see he had power to command the elements of this world, the sea, the fish within the sea. You know, that's beyond our abilities. Now, of course, there are people today that have perhaps positions of leadership, and you may lead people, and you can give commands or directions, and they follow. But I seriously doubt you can lead fish or lead a group of fish to a net at a certain time. And so we're going to see the power of Jesus Christ. Also, the power to cure, verses 12 through 26. There are two miracles that we'll be looking at, and we won't spend a lot of time on those. But we're going to see where he healed a leper and then also a man with palsy. And then finally, the power to call. And basically, not only to call, but to change lives. And that's the power that Jesus Christ has. So it's a good. Let's begin verses 1 through 11 this morning. We've already read there. But as far as this passage, notice first, he had control over the situation. And I want to talk about the message here for a few minutes that he delivered to the people. This all occurred on the Sea of Galilee. Now, here's an image. I don't know exactly where it occurred, but just to give you an idea, this is where some people believe it did happen, or in this area. But I wanted to put this up there so you can get an idea of what the terrain looks like a little bit. And you see, it is possible for someone to go out on a ship, and almost like an amphitheater, at least in this section here. And there are other coves on the Sea of Galilee that were real similar to this. But anyway, this took place on the Sea of Galilee. It began there on the shore, on the banks there of the Sea of Galilee. And then as we see the miracle, as the story goes along, the miracle pretty much takes place out there in the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you'll notice, the verse 1, it says, "The people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." And then he said he stood by the lake. At this point in his ministry, Jesus Christ was popular, so to speak. Now, he wasn't popular like our many popular preachers today. Now, there are some, I believe, some preachers that are excellent preachers that God has blessed and their ministries have grown. But then there are some preachers that are popular because they entertain. And that's just the way it is. Jesus Christ wasn't an entertainer. He preached and he taught. If you'll notice here, it says they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear what he had to say. The message he had was new. We talked about this a little bit last week. It was a message of grace, mercy. You see, the Jews had been under the law, and all they knew was basically the Pharisees and scribes had turned it into a cold, hard religion, where it was do this and do that. The faith had been removed, and it was all about ceremonies and rituals, like a lot of religions today. And the message that Jesus had was a different message. There was grace, there was mercy, there was hope, there was life. And so people, as we see here, they wanted to hear what he had to say. Now, in verse 2, it says he saw two ships standing by the lake. So the location was at the Sea of Galilee. As far as the lesson, the message, we'll talk about here in a minute. We're not given his message here as far as in this passage. But here's the lesson I want us to learn or want us to see as far as Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 2 that he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. There were two ships that were available or that were there. And according to Matthew chapter 4, actually I'll turn over there so we see it. Matthew 4 also records a little bit of this event and gives us another, a different view, not an incorrect view, but a different perspective. 4 verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." And then it says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew was a little more brief. He didn't get into detail on this. But Matthew does tell us that he saw them fishing out in the sea, and then he called them. So when you put the two together, in this case, it appears that as the people pressed upon him and as he was there on the shore, that he saw them fishing out there. And as we know later in this passage, they caught nothing. They struggled. Have you ever had a day like that where you knew what you were doing, but you just couldn't get it done? You know, you have a day like that at work sometimes. One of those days you're just thankful the day's over. That's the type of a day they had, that they struggled at fishing. They got to the shore. And Jesus Christ obviously waited for them to come. And, you know, and that's something else too I'd like just to encourage you with. You know, just because something doesn't happen when we want it to happen doesn't mean God's not paying attention, or that God's not going to work, or that God's not going to bless. He has a plan and a purpose. There was a reason why these men struggled and failed, and he was going to bless them, but they had to wait, and they didn't even know what was going to happen. They had no idea of the future, but God did. Jesus Christ did. And so we find here that he waited, and then the Bible tells us that they're over there cleaning their nets. They're ready to pack it in. You know, it's the end of the day. I can imagine it being like a Friday. You know, you hurry up and get things cleaned up and get home and go get away for the weekend, especially like this weekend. If you have Monday off, you got a 3-day weekend. Here they're cleaning their nets. Their work is done. They're already discouraged. And Jesus Christ, if you'll notice, he asked to use the ship. And I thought that's interesting because he could have commanded here. You know, we're talking about the Son of God. But he asked. He was polite. He was very courteous. You know, let's learn from his example. You know, as witnesses and as believers, I think we should be the most courteous people in the world. I do. I believe if someone rejects Christ, it should be because they reject him and the message, not because of our attitude or because of our conduct. We should be correct in the way we live. And we find here an example that he was polite, he was not demanding, and he asked. And then the Bible tells us that he was given permission, and so he pushed out into the sea a little bit, or they pushed him out, and there it says he sat down and he taught. Now, that was a custom of the day. Maybe I'll change it. I wouldn't mind sitting down. Get me a nice chair up here and sit down and teach. That was the custom of the day. Today, for the most part, most teachers stand and teach. But the custom of the day was to sit down and to teach. And so we find that the Bible tells us that's what he did. He sat down and he taught. Now, we're not given the message, but I imagine he had a strong voice. It was heard. And I'm sure it carried to all that were there that day. But that would be interesting to have been there. But anyway, we're going to move on. And notice we're going to see the power that he shows over the elements. And we're going to talk about this miracle for a few minutes. Verse 4, we've read this, but it begins by saying, he had left speaking. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So here's what we have as far as the plan. And the plan was Jesus Christ's plan. It wasn't Peter's plan. Peter didn't come to Jesus and say, hey, I got a good idea. Let's try this out. Peter was ready to pack it in and he was going home. Jesus Christ went to Peter and said, here, take the ship out, cast out the net, and then pull it in, and guess what? You're going to have a big catch of fish. Now, here's what we need to remember at this point with Peter. And I think it's good for us to remember. You know, sometimes we look at Peter and we talk about his, you know, boldness. You know, he definitely spoke before he thought many times. But we also have to notice the faith he had. Because at this point, he hadn't been called to be an apostle yet. He hadn't walked and he hadn't heard the messages of Jesus for 3 years. At this point, all he knew was he'd met Jesus according to the book of John. I believe Peter was saved at this point. But he wasn't a mature Christian by any means. And here we have Jesus looking upon him saying, take the ship out and go get a big catch of fish. Now, I'm sure Peter may have thought, I know what I'm doing. I've been out there all day. I didn't catch nothing. There's no fish out there. If they're out there, they're hiding today. We're just not going to catch them. The Bible tells us that he was obedient. And notice what he says. Verse 5, Master, we have toiled all the night. So he makes the point that we've worked all night. I've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Notice what he put his faith in, or his obedience. It was in God's word. He went by faith. He didn't know. He didn't see. It was all based upon the word of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're to live by faith. And we're not to live by blind faith. You know, there's a lot of people who think Christians are just living by blind faith. We're not living by blind faith. We're taking God at his word is what we're doing. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. And trust in the word of God. See, that's what faith is, taking somebody at their word. You've exercised faith this morning. You put a lot of faith in that person driving the other way to stay on their side of the line. Am I right? You have no control over that. You just pray that you don't even pray. You just trust they will. Put that faith in God. Take him at his word. And that's all faith is. And that's what Peter did. He was tired, discouraged already, because he'd already failed. But he took God at his word. Now I'm going to give you three thoughts just real quick on failure. You know, ability does not guarantee that someone is going to succeed. And we need to understand that. Just because someone is able to do something does not mean they're going to succeed. You know, there have been a lot of excellent businessmen that have, I think, were intelligent that, for whatever reason, struggled or had something happen that they didn't plan or they couldn't foresee, and then next thing you know, they're in trouble. Another thought, experience does not guarantee success. And we got to be careful of that, too. Actually, sometimes those with experience can be surprised by those without experience. New individual comes in, they think they're an upstart, say, they don't know what they're talking about. Next thing you know, that new individual has a good idea and things have taken off. So experience does not guarantee success. We find that here. And here's the third thought I'll give to you. Failure does not mean that someone is out of God's will. You know, when we fail, I think, yeah, maybe we should examine our hearts. But if you're walking with God and you're living for the Lord, trust that God has a plan for your life, that God allowed that for a reason. So failure does not mean someone's out of God's will. In this case, they were not allowed to catch those fish all night long because God had a plan. God was going to provide a miracle to teach not only Peter and Andrew and James and John, but everyone else that was watching on that day. So we find Peter. He was respectful. He called Jesus Christ Master, which is very respectful. And then he went by faith, basically trusting in the Word of God. So he's a good example for us to learn from. You know, this morning I want to encourage you as a believer to continue when you're tired. You know, it can become tiring serving the Lord. You know, we do have physical bodies, and our bodies need rest. And we can become weary as we serve the Lord. We can become weary as we remain faithful. And so I want to encourage you when you get tired just to continue. Also, continue after failure. If something happens where you fail at something, and don't think everything's over and you'll never succeed again. Trust that God has a plan for your life. Keep going. Be active. Also, continue to trust in the Lord. See, that's the key right there. Trust in the Lord. And then also remain obedient to His Word. Read His Word and remain obedient. Now, here's the miracle part. Notice it says there that they went out, and it says in verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. I'm not a fisherman by any stretch of the imagination. I'm happy if I catch one or two on a day out. Now, these were professional fishermen, and they were amazed at what took place. They went out there, and they put the net down, and basically the Bible tells us that it was overflowing. I mean, the fish were jumping in, I think, is probably what's happening. The Lord allowed it to be filled up, and as they were pulling it out, it was about to break, so they called for help. I believe if you look it down at verse 10, it is probably James and John they called over. It says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So I imagine as they began to get this in, they probably say, get over here. And they probably started getting that ship over their ship as fast as they could to help out. Next thing you know, the Bible tells us there were two ships, and they were filled to the point where they were sinking or nearly sinking. You know, we find here that the Lord provided this miracle. These men did nothing but obey God's direction. And God provided the miracle. You know, here's some lessons for us this morning. We do need to be obedient to God's word. And there is work. You know, in a Baptist church, we don't want to talk about works. Now, there's not works for salvation. Salvation is a gift of God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. But afterwards, once we're saved, there is service to God. And we're not to work in our power and strength. We're not to, you know, I don't think God's impressed with our works before we're saved or after we're saved. I think what God wants us to do, as far as the Scriptures teach, we're to submit to the Lord. We're to abide with Christ. We're to yield to the Spirit, allow the Spirit to work in our life. And then there will be works. You know what happens when you yield to the Spirit? All of a sudden, the love of God begins to come out in your life. The reason why you work is not because you want to please God as much as you want to obey God. Because your God saved you, has changed you, and has given you a new life. And it's just that thankfulness, that gratefulness of wanting to serve the Lord. And so that's what happens. So there is work involved in serving the Lord. Here's a really just a practical lesson for us. If we're going to reach the lost, we have to go. Now, God will provide the miracle of salvation. We cannot save a soul, but we must share the gospel. We must tell them about Jesus Christ. We must challenge them, encourage them to trust in Christ, answer questions if they have questions, show them from the Scriptures what salvation is or what sin is, depending on the situation. But we must do our part and then trust that God will take care of the rest. And that's the lesson also these men learned, because here in a minute we're going to see that he told them they would be fishers of men eventually, that God would do that work. So we see here that God, or Jesus Christ, God, the Son of God, had power to produce a multitude, power to produce many. You know, the Lord today is still able. He's able to bless abundantly. And some of you may have a testimony of that, where you prayed to God and you were asking for something and then he gave you more than you expected, or more than you even asked for. And so he's able to do that. Also, he has power over this world. And we must never forget that. He has power over this world. In this case, it was over the fish in the sea, and he controlled the whole situation. And then thirdly, his power was recognized. Notice what Peter did. It says here that when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down, verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What happened was his heart was filled with humility when he realized the power of Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He just fell down. And he not only realized the power of Christ, but he realized his unworthiness before Christ. I really think the closer we grow to God, the more we'll become like that. The humility will just set in because we'll realize how far away we are from Jesus Christ. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, you know, when we're first saved, you know, we rejoice, we're excited, and sometimes we think, oh, we're not so bad. The more we read the Bible, the more we recognize who God is and how perfect he is. At least for me, the farther I get from him, as far as not my relationship, but my understanding that he is so far. I mean, it's not even comparable how far above he is of us sinners. And that's what happened with Peter. His heart was just, it hit him. And he was humbled there, and he felt inadequate to be in Christ's presence. And so, you know, we talked earlier about Peter, you know, often speaking before he's saying it. Now, notice he says, "Depart from me." Now, here's a thought here. Keep in mind, he didn't know Jesus Christ like he would 3 years later. What I mean by that, I don't know about you, but there have been some things I said as a young Christian, I look back and say, wow, you know, I said that? I'm glad for the first few years as a pastor here, my messages weren't recorded. Some days I wish they weren't recorded now. But, you know, looking back, we grow in the Lord, and we learn, and we, as we read the Bible and we trust in the Lord, we grow and we realize there's some things that we just didn't understand. Not that we learn anything new, which is new to us. And that's, I think we have Peter here. You know, he said, "Leave, you know, depart from me." In reality, Jesus Christ was there to be there with him, and we're seeing him, and he called him to follow. And so we find here it was probably a statement of impulse and one of ignorance. But anyway, Jesus calmed his fears. You notice he says there, it says in verse, that he was astonished. And then in verse 10, it says, Jesus said at the end of verse 10, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Basically, he calmed his fears and the fears of the others. And by the way, if you think about Jesus Christ, who he is, we should have some fear of Jesus Christ. I think that's missing, not only in our world today, but that's missing in modern, I guess, say American Christianity. There's a lack of reverence for Jesus Christ. There's a lack of respect. Now think about it. If we would just sit and just think about who he is, the power he has, do what he pleases. Think about this miracle. there should be some respect. I mean, really great respect and reverence for Jesus Christ. And that's what we find here with Peter. But he calmed their fears and said, fear not. He wasn't there to bring any judgment upon the sins of Peter. He was there to lead Peter and to change his life. And so he says there that they would be fishers of men, or they would catch men, or where Matthew talks about being fishers of men. So here's the lessons for us. Now this is where we can find practical on witnessing for us. These men would basically toil for souls like they did for fish. They would put their effort into that, and that's what they would focus on. They would also be successful, not because of their power, but because of the power of Jesus Christ. That's the lesson, I think, that they learned here. And the Bible tells us that it says there at the end of verse 11, they forsook all and followed him. You talk about commitment. Right then and there, they forsook all and they followed him. So they left all and they followed Jesus Christ. They were called to be apostles. You know, to them, nothing else mattered. Now this morning, we're not called to be apostles. Not everyone's called to be a pastor or a missionary. But I think we should have this same heart. And what I mean by that is we should have a heart that's willing to go wherever God would take us and lead us. And if God would choose to call a man here to be a missionary or a pastor, then we should be willing to go that direction. You see, that's yielding to God and God's will. And that's what Peter and the others did. They yielded to God. They left all. I also find it interesting that they left after probably their greatest success. Now, that'd be like in business, man. You make the best deal of your business career and financially and everything's coming in, and then Jesus said, why don't you come and follow me, and you leave everything behind. So that took some faith there for them to follow, and also took I hear people talk about it a lot, dying to the world. They no longer love the things of the world. They loved God. But here's a thought on this. I imagine each one of them knew that if Jesus Christ could provide that many fish right then and there, he could do that again if he chose to. So of course they're going to follow him. You see, I think the more we know about Jesus, the more we understand his power and his greatness, the more we will be willing to follow wherever he leads, because we will trust him and know that he can provide and take care of us. So that's the lesson there. Now verses 12 through 26, we're not going to spend a lot of time here. These are two miracles, and we've covered these miracles in some of our lessons of the past. But basically verse 12 through 16, Jesus heals a man of leprosy. Now, notice in verse 12, it says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. So just real quick, I'm going to give you some thoughts on this, and I'm just going to touch the surface on this, and we'll go to the next miracle. This man was full of leprosy. Now, this was the report. This was his situation. And from everything here, it appears it was beyond the stages of being cured, as far as he had no hope, basically, is what we find here. And so he earnestly looked to Jesus Christ, is what he did. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had faith. And he trusted that if God wanted to, God could make him clean. You know, that's a good prayer for us. You think about that. How about that? We take that. Lord, if you want me to have this promotion, I know you can give it to me. And then put your faith in God, and then let him work. Lord, if you want me to have this blessing, then I know you can give it to me, and I'll trust you if you want me to have it. You know, there was no demand here. It was a complete trust in the Lord, and the Lord blessed. Jesus Christ blessed, and the man was healed. The Lord was merciful towards him, and you'll notice, like all the miracles, he was healed completely and immediately. You know, there was no, come back next week, and we'll see how you're doing. You know, doctors today, I thank the Lord for doctors. Praise the Lord for our doctors. And you know, but they're limited in their power, and so we have to go back sometimes and follow up and visit again. But the Lord Jesus Christ healed completely, and everything was taken care of. Now look at the second miracle. This is verses 17 through 26, and this was a man with the palsy, basically paralysis is what that means, a paralysis. And in verse 17 it says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tilling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, this miracle is covered in other Gospels with more detail, and that's when we'll really get into it. But this morning, just here's a few thoughts. His weakness was due to sickness. You know, by the way, as human beings, that's our greatest enemy. Sin and sickness, when you think about it. Sickness is because of sin. But that's what we all deal with. You know, eventually that's what we have to deal with. And so this man was sick, and he couldn't even get there himself. He had to have others help him out. Right now, be thankful for those that are... Have you ever thought about that? I thought, you know, if I was this sick, would I have someone help me out? I hope so. You know, I hope I have some good friends who would take me there. You know, that's when you find out sometimes who your friends are and how good of friends you have. This man had some men who, and as we find out in the other Gospels, they worked. You know, the way was blocked, so eventually they had to get up and drop him. They worked to get him to Jesus Christ, and thank the Lord for that. I guess right now, if you're saved, right now, think about the person that led you to Christ. Maybe they gave you a Bible. Maybe they gave you a tract. Maybe it was a teacher in your class. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a friend. Whoever it was, just be thankful that they cared enough to tell you about Jesus Christ and that way they shared the gospel with you and you trusted in Christ. And so we find here that these men cared for him. Anyway, the man was healed. And in this passage, we find just a little bit. I'm not going to get into too much, but notice it says in verse 22, but when Jesus, verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Now, the power of Christ displayed. Could you imagine someone looking at you and knowing your thoughts and bringing up questions based upon what you're thinking at the moment? That's power. And that would not only shock, but it should humble. And that's what Jesus did. He said, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. Now, you know, this passage is excellent. You know, it's really our Lord and Savior, not only did he heal this man, but he stumped those that were opposing him as well at the same time. And our Lord and Savior had power. Really displayed his power in this situation. Now, I want to move on. Now, like I said, there's a lot in those two passages, and we wanted to go through them quickly because I want to get down to this last section for a little bit because we don't really find this anywhere else in the Gospels. And so I just want to cover it for a few minutes. Verse 27 of Luke 5. It says, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. Now, we know that this is Matthew, and the other Gospels gives us that this is Matthew. He left all, rose up, and followed him, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So let's talk about Levi real quick and then about the call for sinners real quick. Now, as far as Levi, Matthew, Bible tells us he was a publican. Now, if you'll notice something in this passage, just think about the two groups of men that were called. I got 5 minutes, so I'm going to run through this. The first group were fishermen. Those were the men on the lowest rank of life as far as their, I guess you would say, their profession. The lowest rank. They were just the common laborers. And those are the men he called first. Now the second one was a publican. That's the one with the worst reputation in the land. Now I think if any of us were going to pick 12 men that we're going to choose to carry out a great commission or a great mission, we wouldn't pick those men. We'd probably try to find executives or leaders or those of influence or those with what we would consider talents. But what we find is our Lord and Savior picked these men to work through them. See, he didn't need worldly abilities or skills or gifts or talents. He was looking for men with hearts that were going to yield unto him, and then he'd work through them. And so I encourage you this morning, no matter what profession God has called you in or what career you have, keep two things in mind. First, God has given you the ability to have that. That can be taken away. God can remove that. I remember reading the story of Billy Sunday, as the evangelist, as he was leaving an insane asylum. He went to an insane asylum to visit, and as he was leaving, he said he kept hearing there was a man, it was like several stories up, had his head out the window, and this man was just yelling out. He goes, thank God for sanity, thank God for sanity, thank God for sanity. And he just kept yelling that out over and over and over. And at first, Billy Sunday said it kind of annoyed him as he was walking to his car, but he said as he got closer, he said it just hit him. He said, by the grace of God, he goes, that he wasn't up where that man was, that he had the ability to think, that he was sane, and that he could reason and think clearly. You know, whatever gifts God has given you, whatever abilities you have, it's by the grace of God. It really is. We are not owed anything. We're sinners. God has blessed us. So if you have the abilities and you have an excellent career, I guess say thank God for that. Thank God for those abilities. Give God glory. Work hard and apply yourself, obviously, but be thankful. You see, God can work through anyone at any time. And that's what we find here. He called a publican next. And that's Levi here. And the Bible tells us here, and I'm going to give you a few thoughts as we wrap this up. It says there in at the end of verse 27, it says, Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, he said to him, follow me. He left all, rose up and followed him. You know, this seems to be just a very, very, just quick conversation. But that happens sometimes. You know, there are some, and that's why I think it's good that we see two, you know, several examples in the Bible. But you know, there are some that will go to church for years and years. And it's not until later that they accept Christ as their Savior. Then I've met some who will show up and the Holy Spirit begins to work. They're under conviction. They may not have been in church hardly at all. They hear that message, and next thing you know, they trust in Christ and their life is changed. Matthew seems to be like that. I mean, here he is. Who knows what was going on in his heart, but here's Jesus Christ. Follow me. And of course, Matthew followed. And the Bible tells us here, it gives a little bit of evidence of his change of life. And I want to point this out in closing because I'm down to a couple minutes now. But here's the evidence of his changed life. You know, if your life has changed, there should be evidence of it. Notice the evidence of Matthew's changed life. It says there in verse 29, and he made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Basically, here's Matthew's evidence of a new life. We need to understand his past life, a publican. Here's what they were known for. They were notorious for stealing. They were considered to be greedy. And what they would do, they worked for the Roman Empire. And what they would do is they would collect the taxes, but they would collect more than what the Roman Empire had demanded, and that's what they would live off of. While most of these men would collect an awful lot more, and they would live in luxury. And of course, the Roman Empire didn't care as long as they received their share. They didn't care. It didn't matter to them. You know, they didn't have maybe a check and balances like we have today. I say that, but then we still have corruption in our government at certain levels. So we find here that we have a man who that's what he was. That's what he that's the life he lived. Now notice what happens. This man is generous. This man is making feasts for Jesus Christ, and he's inviting everyone over to enjoy this. That's a changed man. This man who was probably greedy and held on to everything now all of a sudden is generous and hospitable and having people over. That's a changed life. That's no different than an alcoholic becoming sober or a drug addict becoming clean or a gossip remaining quiet or a liar being honest. You see, what it was, there's evidence of a changed life. This publican now was generous and hospitable and willing to share. And that's his changed life. So we see Matthew here had a changed life. And in closing, what I always find interesting is that Matthew didn't record this himself. This was recorded by Luke. You know, it's best to let others do the speaking for you. You know, we should remain humble. We should live unto the Lord and give glory to God. And if God wants our, achievements known, he can allow others to make them known. Let's just remain faithful to the Lord. So here in this, in closing, the power of Christ displayed. We just touched the surface of it. Encourage you to read this chapter out, or read it and study it out for yourself. There's a lot more there, but just the power. And it was displayed for all to see as his ministry began there in Israel. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. Next week, we're going to look at the next chapter, Luke 6, and we're going to see his authority. He's going to start to display his authority, not just his power, but his authority as the Son of God. There in Israel. So we're going to close with a word of prayer this morning. We got about 15 minutes. Actually, I'm getting out on time, so I think I'm doing better this morning. 15 minutes until our morning service. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, for the blessings you've given to us. I thank you for those that are here this morning. I pray that you'll encourage us from your word, and I pray that you'll bless our morning service this morning. I pray that you help each one of us to clear our thoughts so we can be attentive to your word, and I pray that you'll just provide the spiritual teaching that you have that each one of us needs, Lord. We